Hey guys, welcome to the Fellowship Greenville Students Podcast. Today, you find us in a series on the book of Galatians. Nearly everything we want in life is something we work hard to earn. If we are not careful, we can think that salvation and relationship with God are to be earned as well. It is easy to get caught in a trap thinking we have to do enough to earn God's love. The truth is quite the opposite. God's love and grace are a free gift. The Apostle Paul emphasizes this in the book of Galatians, and it is a truth his original readers needed long ago and that we certainly need to hear today. Follow along, and we hope you enjoy this message.
Well, last week, my friend Jesse wrapped us up in our Anchored series. How many of you were here for Jesse as he was teaching? Good, good. Guys, there was, I don't know why, and so maybe somebody can help me. Last week, we don't really talk about like numbers and all that stuff in here, but last week, we had 200 middle schoolers between first and second hour, which is like not normal. So normally between first and second hour, we will have like 160-something to 170-something. So I don't know where you guys had your 30 friends coming from, but it was kind of crazy. So I kept saying they must have heard that I was going to be in preteen, and that's why they came, because Jesse was teaching in middle school. So kind of crazy. I mean, and that's... one of the things we're going to be, well, I'll just go ahead and tell you guys, we'll be announcing it soon, but like as far as a proper announcement during our announcement segment, but how many of you are moving over to Adams Mill? How many of you know that you're going to be down at Adams Mill? Okay, sweet, sweet. We're sending out surveys and all that kind of stuff and getting a feel for it. Right now, I think middle school-wise, we've got like 40 middle schoolers that'll be there at the launch, kind of day one, which will be really cool. Maybe some of you, you're going to actually stay here until the end of the school year so that you can wrap up with small groups and things like that. I think that makes sense for a lot of people too. But we're going to actually invite students, which is you guys, high schoolers and middle schoolers, to the open house. So the church is doing like an open house on February 28th. Am I thinking about that right? I better look at that. That can't be right. 23rd. That's my bad. The 23rd, February 23rd, we're doing an open house. That's a Sunday night. And they're doing like two of them. So there's going to be one that's from like 5 to 6 and then 6:30 to 7:30. And we're going to ask that you guys, if you can, and we understand if your family is going to the earlier one, but we're going to ask that students come to the later one. And we're actually going to gather in that student space over there during the 7:30 time. I think we said, or sorry, the 6:30 time. I think we said we're going to start at like 7:15. So you'll get a chance to be in the session that they're going to do or the service they're going to do, walk around the building and see the whole thing. And then at 7:15, students are going to be gathered in the student space, and we're going to just pray for what it is that God might want to do in that space and for those who are going to be down there kind of from day one. So really exciting. I say that because with having so many people last week, it just was a reminder that God's been really kind to us in bringing more people. And so maybe you've invited a friend, like you're always welcome to invite a friend, or maybe your family's just starting to come here for the first time coming back for the first time in a long time. And so we're just always amazed by who God's bringing and how he's bringing them. So, but every time, no matter where you're coming from if you've been here just forever, we are in the scriptures. And today, while we finished our Anchored series last week, we're going to start in the book of Galatians today, which if you have been paying attention around here, we've been in the book of Galatians as a church. How many of you have been to a main service where they taught from the book of Galatians? Anybody? Okay, a few of you. How many of you are like every Sunday you're in the main service? Anyone? Not quite. Okay, Ted, thank you. Deacon, really? Nice, man. Love it. Okay, so some of you may have some spoilers related to Galatians. Maybe you've read it before or you've heard a message about it. This morning, we're just kind of going to do an intro overview of Galatians, all right? Like a soft launch into the book of Galatians. So go ahead and turn there in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 1. We're going to read the first 5 verses this morning. Does anybody know what type of book Galatians is? Like, is it just like a story? Is it some poems? Is it, yeah. It is a letter. Yes, that's right. My friend Judah. It is a letter. And so we're going to talk about some of the important things to consider when we look at any book of the Bible, but especially one of these letters. But I want you to take a second and think about the last time that you received a letter from somebody. And I was going to go just like full on handwritten letter, okay? But I know we live in a digital age, and so it could be a typed out letter. It could be a handwritten letter. I want you to take a second to think about the last time you received that. And then I want you to turn to your neighbor. I don't want you to share with them. When's the last time that you received a letter? All right, so turn to the people on your right and left and let them know. When's the last time you think you received a letter? Make sure you're giving your friends time to share as well. A text message does not count. An email doesn't. I'm talking like snail mail in the mail came in your mailbox letter, okay? Maybe that changes what some of you just shared. All right, let me hear some of these. When do you think the last time you received a letter is? Yeah, Jackson? A Christmas card. Hey, honestly, that's where I was going to. Christmas card for me. How many of you said a Christmas card was the last time you received a letter? Love it. Yeah, dude, that's honestly one of my favorite parts about Christmas, or it has become that. Getting Christmas cards from people, even though it's like, hey, they're saying the same thing to everybody they send it to. Something about it just feels so personal, man. Thanks for thinking about me. Who else? You got a letter, and you can remember what it was for? Yeah. Your pen pal from Arizona. It wasn't Jackson, right? Jackson's from Arizona. Okay, that'd be kind of crazy. Okay, just confirm. You don't have any pen pals in Greenville, Jackson? Okay, sorry. Does that make it weird because it's a boy and a girl? Maybe because it's middle school. But how long, Regan, have you had the pen pal? Sweet, that's awesome. So it's a friend, but since you've moved away, you've kept in contact with letters. That's awesome. I love that. Who else has one? For your birthday. Yeah, getting letters. Did you get a letter from us for your birthday? A little postcard? Yes. Okay, good. Okay. I was like, whoops. She's the only one. Yeah, you guys should get birthday cards from us. We send you birthday cards. In fact, if I was to say when the last time I wrote a letter is, it would be one of your birthday cards because we write those every single week. Who else? This section, you guys get any snail mail letters? Anybody? No friends. Womp womp. Oh. Sorry. You just don't want to share. That's what it is. Yeah. What is it? You're saying Christmas. Are you saying Christmas? No. What are you saying? Your cousin. Okay, nice. You guys regularly send letters back and forth? Okay, sweet. I like that. Just kidding, guys. They have friends. They have a lot of friends, okay? They just didn't want to share. I'm totally kidding. I love you guys. I'll be your friend if you don't have one. So that's the last time you received a letter. Take one more second and tell your neighbor, when's the last time you wrote a letter, okay? It's a different thing to receive versus to give, to send. All right, make sure you give your friend time to share. All right, when's some of the last times you wrote a letter yourself? Not just, did you receive one? Yeah, Madeline. Oh, nice. Wait, Alejandro's from China? Oh, wow, that's crazy. Hey, you never know. Never know these days. That's awesome. So a pen pal situation. That's cool. Yeah. Brielle, did you have one? Oh. Hey, it's a thought that counts sometimes. She said, I wrote a letter to my grandma last year, but I never sent it. You know what? Change the date. Like, scribble it out. Oh, sorry, grandma. I got the, you know, in the new year, it's hard to move from the 2024 to 2025, and she'll never know, you know? You wrote one 2 years ago? Nice. So it's been a little bit. Yep. You wrote one yesterday, so I'm expecting it in the mail this week. You didn't write it to me. Well, this is sad. Boys, help me out here. I don't know what. Okay, that's really sweet that you wrote. Who did you write the letter to? Your sister? Are you gonna like slide it under her door or like? Oh, they're all out of the house. Okay, well, that makes sense. Sweet. That's fun. Yeah. Your friend in Iowa. Gosh, Iowa sounds like another country, man. I forget that's part of the United States. You know, at this point, Greenland's more a part of it than Iowa. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, Caleb? What is it? Last year for school? Nice, dude. Nice. Yeah, in the back corner? You don't think you've ever written a letter? Hey, thank you for that honesty. All right, maybe Paul is going to inspire you to write a letter this morning. All right, so we are in the book of Galatians, and I want to continue this little discussion because we're going to need some help. We're doing an overview, so things that we're going to talk about this morning are like the main thrust or theme or point of what Paul is talking about. We're going to talk about that so that you know, hey, as we read through these chapters, and we're not going to read every single verse of every single chapter, but we're going to cover it over the next 6 or 7 weeks. We're going to cover the entire book of Galatians. I know our church has been in the book of Galatians already for several months, and so we're not going to do that here in middle school, but we are going to go kind of briskly through it. And as we do, I think it's important to keep in mind what the main purpose is. So we're going to talk about that. But there's some other things that we're going to talk about. I'm going to read these first 5 verses, and then I'm going to see. This is actually like a little bit of a callback. Because when we were in the summer, we went through the book of Colossians, and I gave you guys 4 things that were really important. Really, anytime you read a book of the Bible, but especially when you read a letter in the book of the Bible, which is what we find here in Galatians. So let me read the first 5 verses of Galatians, and then we'll talk about what those things are, all right? So chapter 1 of Galatians, verse 1 says, Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers who are with me, to the churches of Galatia. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. All right. There's 4 things that are pretty key, pretty important. I've actually already kind of given one. You could maybe even say 2 of them away. What do you think are 4 important things that we might want to know as we approach? And really, you could kind of apply this to how you've approached letters in the past. There's 4 things that are important when we read a letter. What do you think some of those things might be? Just to know like how to read the letter, to have any idea of what you're reading. Anybody want to take a jab at what it might be good to know about? Yeah, Jackson. Good. Context. What does that mean? You want to give some definition of that? Yeah, like what the situation is. Like when I send a Christmas card, okay, or I send a birthday card, kind of a little bit of the context is, hey, it's July when I send the birthday card, right? No, that would be, well, actually people do Christmas in July, I guess. But like typically, you send a Christmas card around Christmas time to wish people a Merry Christmas, to celebrate the birth of Christ. You send somebody a birthday card, not when it's, you know, 3 months after their birthday, but you send it like right around the time that it is their birthday, and hopefully they get it before or right around their birthday. There's context to it. So there's a situation, there's a circumstance that you need to know about. And, you know, probably if you're sending a letter to a pen pal, like you know some of the things that are going on in their life, or if you send a letter to a family member or whatever, you know some things that are going on in their life, and that's the context. And you might bring up some of those things or answer questions that they have about certain things that they're going through in your letter to them, okay? So context, for sure, is one of the 4 things that we need to know about. Yeah, you got one in the back? Say it a little louder. Yeah, how they're doing and what's going on, I think I would include that kind of in the context, all right? So, yeah, that's great. For not writing a letter, you're on the right track, okay? Never written a letter before. Yeah, what you think, Emeline? Wait, did you move? Weren't you over here? Oh, okay, just to play the game. Okay, ooh, I'm going to have to watch out for that now, okay? Say it again. What was your answer? Who it's from and who it's for. So you just gave us 2. So context is 1, but also author. So who wrote the letter? and audience, okay? And then there's one more that I've given it, I've kind of given it away already, yeah. The meaning or the purpose, right? Yeah, like what's your purpose? So that's our four, okay? I think we actually have those on the screen, but we've got author, we've got audience, we've got context, and then the purpose or the meaning, like Julia said, like what's the reason that you wrote the letter? Like, is there kind of a main point? Like, hey, it's a birthday letter. I wrote it to wish you happy birthday. It's a pen pal letter. I kind of just maybe wrote to give you a general update on life and to ask you how your life is going. You know, that's kind of tends to be the nature of some pen pal relationships. It's just like a back and forth, a little bit of an update. So we're going to talk about those things this morning. And I think we get the answer to a couple of them in our first five verses here. So go back and look who is, and we can put this on the screen if you want, tech team. Based on those first five verses, we get the answer to our first two of our four questions. Who is the author and who is the audience? Does anybody want to give us who is the author of the book of Galatians? That's right, Paul. So the Apostle Paul, and this one, remember a few months ago, we talked about Hebrews and how Hebrews is like kind of debated. They don't really know who wrote it. Maybe it was Paul. Maybe it was actually a woman. Kind of interesting that people can't quite land on based on the clues and context and all that kind of stuff, exactly who it was. But this one, Galatians, is one of the least debated books in all the scripture. No, it's for certain. Paul was the one who wrote this. Who was Paul? You guys have been around, some of you in the church long enough to know some things about the Apostle Paul. Who was Paul? Yeah, Caleb? Okay, not quite one of Jesus' disciples. He kind of came after the 12 disciples, right? But he was one that Jesus appeared to, right? And he is now described as one of Jesus' apostles for sure. So he was one that Jesus appeared to and kind of gave a clear calling and clear directive. Hey, you're supposed to go tell people about me. You're supposed to tell people about Jesus, tell people about the kingdom. And Paul ended up doing that in a unique way where not all of Jesus' 12 disciples were church planters, even though they were kind of, they were certainly spreading the gospel, but Paul was a church planter. He went all throughout the area of the Roman Empire, which I actually have a picture of, and he was, you can throw that map up on the screen if you got it back there, tech team. So he kind of went all over. Like if you look kind of down here in the bottom right, you can see Jerusalem and Judea. That's kind of where we think a lot about like where Jesus was and where the disciples were, which is certainly true. But then if you look right over here underneath that red blob that says Abilene, there's that dot that says Damascus. And Paul was actually on his way to Damascus when he encountered Jesus. Jesus like stopped him, literally blinded him. And that was a big part of Paul's transformation story. And then he became a missionary where he was going and planting churches. And so those red and blue lines actually outline one of Paul's missionary journeys where he kind of started in that place right here called Antioch, which is kind of on this right side. I think you guys can see it. And then you can kind of follow the blue line. That's where it starts and then turns into the red line where he's kind of making his way back to Antioch for his first missionary journey. But Paul was really one of, if not the first church planter, where he was going into these places where the gospel hadn't yet reached. He was telling people about Jesus, about the kingdom, and then he was starting little Jesus communities. He was starting churches. And before Paul did this, this is like maybe one of the best, like, hey man, if God can save anybody, if he can save Paul, then he can save anybody. Maybe he can save even me. But Paul, before he met Jesus, he was actually killing and persecuting Christians. He was not a great dude. And so Christians were actually, when he became a Christian, or said he had become a Christian, Christians were really hesitant. Like, man, I don't know. He was a dude that was literally just killing us. Should we embrace him? Should we take him in? But over time, it proved that, no, hey, he's really following the Lord now. And he became a real force in the early church. And now Paul is one of the ones who wrote almost half of our New Testament, some of these letters in the New Testament, including the one that we're reading now. So that's Paul, a little bit about him. We're going to hear more from him, obviously, in this book, this letter. Who was the book written to? We've also got that in these first five verses. And hint, hint, it might be in the name of the book. Does anybody want to take a jab? Jackson, you think you know who it was written to?
Well, I was
going to
say the churches,
Sure. You want to just go with the churches? So, and specifically, yeah. Nice. The churches in Galatia. Okay. So if you look in that big, there's kind of that big green piece of land right there. So, and in big black bold letters, it says Galatia. All right. So that actually, how many of you have heard of Turkey? Not Thanksgiving Turkey, but like the country of Turkey. Okay. So Galatia is now modern day Turkey. So some of these names didn't stay. They've changed over the years for various reasons. And now modern day Turkey was back then, it was Galatia. And that's the area where Paul wrote these letters. And you can see Paul had actually visited these churches. It's not like, you know, when I was in elementary school, I got a pen pal. That wasn't like Regan's pen pal where she actually knows them, but I got like some random pen pal and I would write them letters back and forth, but I never knew them. I had never visited them. I'd never even seen, well, I think I had seen a picture of them, but that was it. Paul was writing to churches that he had visited, and not just visited, but helped start. And so he's writing to these people that he has great love for, that he really cares a lot about. And that's these people in the churches in Galatia. Okay. So, sometimes there were instances where Paul wrote letters where he had just kind of heard of things that were going on and hadn't necessarily interacted with people. But in this case, he actually knows these people, knows some of their leaders, probably baptized many of the people that he's envisioning as he's writing this. And that's who he writes this letter to. So our first two answers, we got the author is Paul. We got the audience is the church in or churches in Galatia. And then we need to know a little bit of the context, which is you could kind of start to discover if you were to read through the rest of the book. But here's kind of a little bit of the context for you. I'll just give that one to you. So basically, Paul comes and plants these churches, and now it's been maybe at most like a couple of years since Paul has actually been with these people. And it seems like pretty soon after Paul left, so he's kind of gotten them established. Hey, you know the basics of the gospel. You know how to teach the truth. You know how to share your faith. You know how to live like Jesus has called us to live. And then he leaves and he goes back to his kind of hometown. He goes most likely back to, at least in this instance, Antioch. And then it seems like not long after Paul left, there were people who tried to take advantage of these new believers. And there were people who tried to say, hey, like, no, but like, Paul's gone. Let me kind of help you along the way. And they started adding all kinds of different things to the gospel that Paul was teaching. And actually, Paul says in the book of Galatians, hey, they were adding all these things that end up making the gospel not the gospel at all. And really what they were doing, and this kind of gets us into the purpose, is that they were teaching that, hey, if you were a Christian, if you have been saved by Jesus, then in order to stay saved, in order to stay in relationship with God, in order to stay right with the Lord, here's all these things that you need to do. And so they were trying to give them a list of rituals. They were trying to give them even a list of things that they, like, hey, you're supposed to do this to your body. They were giving them a list of things like, hey, you need to follow this to a T, because if you don't, you can possibly lose your salvation. But if you do, then you stay right with God. That's kind of the context. They're being taught this lie. There's like poison in the camp. There's poison in the water. And Paul's writing this, really his purpose is to try to point out the poison, point out the wrong, point out the false teaching, and remind them of what is true. And so here's how our church has summed this up for years. Actually, since before many of you guys were born, back in 2000, I think it was like 2006 or 2007, 2008, somewhere in there, our church went through the book of Galatians the first time and kind of landed on talking about the main purpose and main thrust of the book of Galatians like this, that it's Jesus plus anything equals nothing, but Jesus plus nothing equals everything. That really what Paul wants the Galatians to hear and know and cling to, and what we ought to as well when we read this, is that, hey, no, actually, when you add anything to Jesus, it actually kind of nullifies the gospel. When you make it about, oh yeah, Jesus, but then I need to make sure that I do all the right things and I say all the right things, because if I don't, then I may not stay in right standing with God, or I may not be able to stay in relationship with God, or God might love me less, or he might just kick me out of the family. No, that's not how it works. That actually it's Jesus. That he's the one who brings you into the family, that he's the one who keeps you in the family, that it's him and nothing else, and that Jesus plus nothing is actually the gospel, that there's freedom there, that there's salvation there, but that anytime we try to add something to it, that it's actually kind of poisoning or polluting it. So does that mean that we don't do anything? Like, well, now when we're saved, does that mean it shouldn't change the way we talk or change the way we think or change the way we act? Or no, that's not the case. Actually, it should do that even more so when you realize, like, man, Jesus gave everything so that I might have everything. And our response is to live in a way that honors him and glorifies him. But the times that we fail, the times we slip up, the times that we don't meet the mark, it doesn't mean that God loves us any less. It doesn't mean that God kicks us out of the family. It doesn't mean that God just leaves us to the side like, ah, I knew you wouldn't measure up anyway. But sometimes that's how we feel. It's like, man, if I don't read my Bible enough, or if I don't pray enough, or if I don't, you know, if I stay stuck in a certain sin, or it can sometimes feel like, man, does God still love me? Does God still care? Like, I'm failing him. And does that mean that he's going to give up on me? And Paul's trying to help the Galatians, and I think he's trying to help us not get caught in that, but know that, hey, no. Jesus has saved you, and he will continue saving you. He has given you freedom, and he will continue giving you freedom. That he knew that you would still slip up and fail and still find yourself trapped in sin at times. That's why he forgave it all at the cross. So when you do slip up, you can turn to him knowing, hey, it's not about what you do for him. It's not about you checking out off all the boxes, but it's about all that he's already done for you. And that's where your freedom's found. That's where life is found. That's where salvation is found. And that's the truth of the gospel, that Jesus plus nothing equals everything. And that's the purpose of the book of Galatians. So we've got the author, we've got the context, we've got the author, we've got the audience, we've got the context, and we've got the purpose. And those things are things that I think will be helpful to keep in mind as we go through the rest of this book. So let me ask you, are there times, as we think about the purpose especially, when you're kind of tempted to like make your faith and make your relationship with Jesus about the things that you do rather than just trusting in who he is? I think that's going to be worth wrestling through as we go through the rest of this book. Let me pray for us, then we'll head to small groups. Lord, thank you for letters like this that we have that have been preserved over thousands and thousands of years that we get to look at and see the truth of, that it wasn't just for people thousands of years ago, but these words are true and helpful and encouraging to us today. So I pray, Lord, that you might help, help us think well about the book of Galatians and about the words that your apostle Paul had to share with the people of Galatia, and that now we get to read those today, and there still is profound truth for us. Help us to take away some little nuggets along the way as we read through this book. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.